Ladies and gentlemen, good day, and welcome to Q3 FY23 earnings conference call of Steel Strips Wheels Limited, hosted by SMIFS Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Amit Hiranandani from SMIFS Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. On behalf of SMIFS Limited, I welcome you all to Q3 FY23 conference call of Steel Strips Wheels Limited. We are pleased to host the senior management of the company. Today, we have with us Mr. Dheeraj Garg, Promoter and MD, Mr. Mohan Joshi, Executive Director, Mr. Naveen Sohra, CFO, and Mr. Pranav Jain, DGM Finance. We will start the call with the initial commentary from the management, and then we will open the floor for Q&A. Now, I hand over the call to the management team. Over to you, sir.
Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Dheeraj Garg. I am the Managing Director of Steel Strips Wheels. I'm happy to host you today for this conference call. Starting, I will go over some of the financial numbers of the company and the basic broad parameters on which you can understand the company's growth. For the current quarter Q3, we had an EBITDA of 110 crores. This was versus 108 crores last year. If you total out the EBITDA for the 9 months until December, the EBITDA stands at 340 crores versus 349 crores same time last year. 9 months to 9 months, there is a drop of 9 crores till date. You should recall that last year we had mentioned an inventory gain of 60 crores till the 9 months of December last year. If you normalize the profitability based on by removing the gains of last year of 60 crores, and also I must add that this year until 9 months, we've had an inventory loss of 11 crores. If you normalize both these numbers, you will find that our EBITDA for these 9 months this year stands at 351 crores versus 289 crores previous year. In effect, if you strip out the gains and losses of inventory, we actually have gained 21% in EBITDA. This is one very important factor I want the participants to understand, that our performance, specifically based on what the company can achieve, has been 21% better in terms of EBITDA over last year. The profit after tax for Q3 stands at 43.76 crores. This is versus 42.69 crores for Q3 of the preceding financial year. The PAT for 9 months stands at 146.50 crores versus 156.57 crores for the same period last year. 9 months to 9 months, the PAT has come down by about 10 crores. This is mainly on account of the taxation provision. This year we are being charged the full tax because our MAT sort of consolidated value is getting used. In terms of cash outflow, we have 33% less tax outflow. On the books, it appears that we are paying 33%, but in effect, we are paying one-third less than that 33% tax amount. In terms of cash flows, we are better off than last year. Basically, this year, in these 9 months, we've seen a decline in our exports, and that is the primary reason why we have not done a much better job than we should have done. Basically, the exports have declined from 800 odd crores to about 300 odd crores this year. This 500 crores decline in exports has been taken up to a large extent by the increase in the Indian market. The Indian market, our value-added business like aluminum wheel business, our CV wheel business, they have tremendously grown and sort of taken over the loss from the export market. All in all, we are going to be touching a turnover of close to 4,100 crores, which again is a bump up from last year. Again, but for the poor performance in exports, we have done very, very well in our existing businesses that cater to the domestic Indian market. I'm sure you are aware of that the Indian domestic market has done really well this year. So with this, these basic synopsis on the business, I'm happy to answer your questions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have a first question from the line of Rajat Setia from iThought PMS. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. Sir, with regards to the exports business, I think our exports business started picking up, especially to US, because there were some import duties on Chinese exports to the US market. So is that also reversing now? Is that also resulting into more business coming in US from China than India?
Is that one question you have?
So that's the first one.
So you're right that we've been held by the anti-dumping duties on Chinese imports, and that still remains. What I'm trying to say is that because of the surplus of inventory in America and the slowdown and the increase in oil prices this year, the segment that we cater to has taken a downshift. So production has declined in double-digit numbers there. So demand has declined. But nevertheless, demand has started to pick up. In fact, today we made a press release also saying that exports in the fourth quarter are going to be one of the best in the whole year. And we see green shoots emerging there because the inventories have been run down and the markets are picking up because energy prices have also dropped down in America. So that is helping us. And going forward, we feel that we should at least double our exports from this year to the American and the European market. Okay, we may not reach the numbers that we reached 2 years ago, but nevertheless, we will be at a definite delta of doubling our exports from here.
Okay. All right. So you're saying that this quarter that has gone by is probably the bottom of the that's the bottom in terms of our exports to US market, right?
Come again? Exports to the US market, what did you say?
The quarter three.
Can you use your handset, please?
Yeah, just a second. So you're saying quarter three, from quarter three onwards, we will start seeing uptick in our exports.
Quarter four, yes.
Yeah, quarter four onwards, yeah. And so the other question was regarding the strategy that we will have for our alloy wheels product in the exports market. If you can help us understand a bit about the strategy.
Strategy of the alloy business?
Yeah, alloy wheels in exports.
Yeah, so this is a good question you're asking because this year our export, our alloy turnover has gone up to almost 1,000 crores for 9 months. And going forward, we should add another close to 1,200 crores we should end up doing. So this is an increase of almost 120% over last year. So going forward, I think we may not have this stupendous growth because most of the capacities are now fully utilized. We are adding another capacity from we started with 1.5 million wheels. Today we are at about 3 million wheels. We should be around 4.5 million wheels by June this year. So we would theoretically add another 50% capacity from here, from where we are sitting right now. And when we look at our 3-year plans, our capacity is getting sold out within this financial year on an annualized basis. So this export business, we can easily go up 50% from here.
So you are saying from 3 million to 4.5 million will be our alloy wheels capacity. And this capacity, you are saying additional capacity will be utilized within this year?
Not entirely, but on an annualized basis. From toward the end of the financial year, we'll be hitting that rate that is required to produce 4.5 million wheels.
All right. And this incremental sales will be going to export market, you are saying?
Also the export market, also the Indian market, because we have won certain new programs from our existing customers. So our market share within India is going to go up. And
sorry,
plus Indian market will...
Sorry. Please go ahead. Okay. So my question was largely regarding the export strategy with regards to the alloy wheels. How are we going to crack market? What will be the sales channel? And
So right now, you know, we are constrained by our capacity. And as I said, we could have, I didn't mention this, but I can say this now, that we could have done more volume in our exports business, but for the lack of volume, and that is being made up right now as we speak. So every quarter we've added some small capacities, but the major capacity uptake will happen by June or before June rather. So that should help us open up a sizable volume, that's a billion wheels, to the European and the American market. And already we are in discussions, and already we are starting to supply to many important customers in the U.S. and in Europe in the aftermarket. But besides the aftermarket, we are also targeting the OEM market, and we are making very strong headways in that market. I don't want to reveal names of the OEMs yet, because it is also, we want to avoid our competition to know our strategy incomplete. But yes, we are going to be targeting the OEM market, which is going to be the major what you may delta change in our exports. So that could take a major chunk of our exports out from our production capacity.
All right. Understood, sir. And finally, on the overall CapEx and the debt part, if you can help us understand how much capital expenditure we are looking to do in the next 3-4 years, and what will be our peak borrowing levels?
So all that is very difficult to give you on a pinpointed basis, what will be our peak borrowing level. But this year we are doing a CapEx of close to 140, 150 crores. Next year should see about 150 crores plus the acquisition of AMW. But again, that is still not decided yet. So going forward, I can tell you some of the things that we are doing. You know, the aluminum wheel expansion, you know, this current capex this year versus, and what is going to happen in the early part of next year, is a lot of it is going to go to the aluminum wheel capacity enhancement. Plus, as you know, we signed up with an Israeli company to start making controllers for EVs. So that would take a capital outlay of about 20 crores. And going forward, as we see and how we expand, that could go up to 100 crores depending on how the market response is. Plus, we are doing something in the casting space. We're coming out with an import substitute. There is nobody else making that casting part. It's in aluminum. I don't want to reveal the name of the product for competitive reasons. That is going to entail a capex only in FY 24-25. So, or toward the end of FY 24 and going into 25, that capex is going to be to the tune of about 100 crores. So, not too much on the horizon. Our normal brownfield working capex is close to 40 crores. So, if you put that all together, I don't see much need for borrowing going forward. But we'll see. But there will be some increase in borrowing depending on how and when we get the AMW project. But that again will be temporary bridge borrowing, because we feel that our EBITDA margins and absolute EBITDA gains will be good enough to pay back all those investments in a pretty short span of time.
And
you already know that we've started prepaying our term loans this year. We picked up our term loans to a large extent, prepaid them actually. And Naveen, where are we now on the term loans? What is the level of term loans?
260 crore was the number as on 31st December. Of that, again, we have prepaid 25 odd crore in Jan.
What is the number now? What is the total term loan?
226 crore rupees.
So 226 crores versus what it was 1 year ago when this financial year started?
375 as on 1st of April.
So you have seen that we have almost paid off 150 crores in less than 9 months, in about 10 months. And I think cash flows are very, very healthy. So we don't see debt as an issue for us. If at all, it will be raised for a short period of time, because continuously our EBITDA again will set up all the requirements for taking any further loans.
Sure. And how much debt is on the alloy wheels?
Alloy wheels is going to be about 150, 60 crores since, I think, beginning of this financial year. Naveen, correct me if that is incorrect.
Yeah, that's correct. So this year, the total capital that we are expecting is in the range of 150 to 160 in total. For next year, our number is expected to be again hovering around these levels, specifically covering your maintenance capex of almost 30 CR, then controller business of almost 20 CR, and balance 100 crores for the aluminium business.
And this
is without considering the AMW. So AMW acquisition cost will be over and above this.
Yeah. All right. Thank you so much. Thanks for answering all the questions.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Chintan Patel from Setco Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Sir, thanks for the opportunity. Sir, can you quantify the volume breakup between alloy and steel?
In terms of volume?
Yeah.
Okay. Devin, do you have the breakup?
So for 9 months in aluminium, we have sold almost 21.36 lakhs. In terms of value, this is hovering around 950 odd crores. In terms of steel wheel, the total steel wheel business that we did was 109. In terms of value, this number is almost around 1873.
1873 crore. Okay. And sir, change under East is around 68 crore. The number is double compared to the FY22 number. So, so want to understand what is happening here. Is there any one-time loss or one-time gain?
What? Can you repeat your question, please? We are not clear what you're asking.
Your change in inventory is almost double compared to the FY22 number. FY22 number is around 34 crore and this number is around 68 crore. So, want to understand what happened here and is there any one-time loss or gain?
As I told you in my starting preface, there has been a gain of 60 crores last year. And there has been a loss of 11 crores this year in inventory. So I don't think there is any doubt in terms of understanding on the inventory losses. So there is nothing more to say on this. There is a gain of 60 crores and then there is a loss of 11 crores in these 18 months.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. Thanks for all. That's all from my side.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Ravi Lodka from Agarwal Investment. Please go ahead. Mr. Lodka,
hello.
There's a lot of background
noise. Am I audible?
Yes, but there's background hello? Noise on your line. Too much disturbance, sir.
Hello? Hello?
Yes, we can hear you.
Ma'am, my question is, at what stage we are with the Rattler Technology Israel? And what are the competency for ED, EV controller manufacturing we have?
We don't understand your question. Please repeat.
Yes, sir. At what stage we are with Rattler Technology Israel? And okay. What are our competency for EV controller manufacturing?
Okay, good question. So we are in the stage of signing the definitive agreements with Rattler. Meanwhile, we have visited many customers who are important in this space, and we've got a very, very good response, amazing response we've got. In fact, we had participated in the auto show also with Rattler, and the response has been absolutely unbelievable. In terms of signing of the agreement, we should have a definitive agreement signed up in the next 2 or 3 weeks. And meanwhile, we've already started to work on the manufacturing of the controllers. And we have been able to achieve a target price on making the controller, which is a very big thing for us. And we have done it with our own internal competencies within the company. Of course, we have consultants in it, and of course, we have Rattler. So our software is tied up through the technology transfer, and now the hardware is sorted out. So we should be pretty much in production in the next 4 months. Our target is to start producing them in India in the next 4 months.
Okay, sir. And sir, I know that Rattler is very much advanced in drone capabilities also. So whether you want to add any color for that?
Yes. So we are now, you know, defense is a very different animal versus the OEM auto industry in India. We have the possibility of getting into drone manufacturing, but we are trying to see what all competencies we bring to the business before we enter the business. I cannot enter the business just because there is a technology possible. As you know, it's a sensitive business, and we may not have all the skill sets to get into this business. But we are still exploring, as you're questioning us.
Okay. And sir, one last question is there. Any color you want to add for the EV wheel in future as compared to your peers?
Okay. Again, a very brilliant question. I want the participants to understand. I have mentioned, talked about this earlier too, but I am very happy to tell you that we have become the only company in India to make EV wheels for two-wheelers, which conform to the highest international standards. And those international standards are led by marquee companies like Bosch, Sona Comstar, Nidec. You know, these are all billion-dollar-plus companies, multi-billion-dollar-plus companies with very, very high standards. And we are the only company in India which has been able to get business from these companies and start delivery of these. It was a very tedious learning process for us, but we have been able to achieve it. In fact, that gives us a lot of confidence to enter the market for motors. We've talked about entering into the market of motors so as to make a complete assembly of wheel, of motor, and controller. So basically, almost the entire powertrain of the vehicle. So we are moving in that direction, and we are very comfortable, comfortably happy that we are much ahead in the game compared to our competition. So yes, you will see a lot of not a lot of new innovation development in this regard, and this should be a big surprise to us as well as to the market as to the potential that is there in this market. And plus, we are covered under PLI. So we will be getting close to 10% extra once we get these assemblies organized. So we are on the job.
Okay, thank you. All the best, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We have a next question from the line of Sandeep Dixit from Arjav Partners. Please go ahead.
Hey, thank you for your opportunity. Couple of questions. Number one, you have been sort of hinting that the YoY decline in exports should bottom out by December. Are we seeing that as we go into Jan and Feb?
Yeah. So as I said, you know, today we sent a presentation to the stock exchanges saying that in the fourth quarter exports will cross 80 crores, going to be the highest number for the whole financial year. And this obviously gives us a sound sounding that next year is going to at least grow much better than what we are seeing in the fourth quarter. And the reason for this is that our existing customers have consolidated in their ownership, and luckily we have become as their preferred supplier. So two of the biggest customers in America have chosen us as their preferred supplier. And not only steel wheels, but we'll also be supplying them aluminum wheels. So, and now that I will have capacity in aluminum wheels, I can easily get 200 crores of exports from aluminum. So the number that I'm giving you, that 600 crores next year, looks very, very achievable.
Perfect. Thanks. The second question I had was regarding the inventory gains that you and losses that you pointed out. My understanding is this is essentially a pass-through of your raw material costs.
No, it is not.
Is that different?
It's based on the consumption of the customer, not on the inventory that I carry.
Okay. So this is, I mean, technically, if you have an inventory gain, let's say today, it would result in an EBITDA margin hit, let's say tomorrow, and that the EBITDA margin would, increase in raw material cost would be passed on in the following quarter. That still continues?
All prices change according to the change in prices, but what does not change is the amount of inventory you hold at any given point of change, the time of change.
Perfect. Just last question. Any guidance on your top line and EBITDA margins as we go into the next 2 years?
Yeah. So I am very, very positive that given the fact that we will double our exports from here, and assuming and the fact that I will have 1.5 million more wheel capacity, not entirely for the in the financial year, but let's say half of the year, I will be able to grow there. Plus, I am seeing growth in my CV business, which, you know, is right now on steroids. Absolutely, we will have the highest sales in our history this quarter on CV wheels, by the way. So we would have never sold so many wheels in a single quarter, or we will also set month-on-month records in this quarter. So CV is going to be a big game changer for us. So clearly, I see a top line of 5,000 crores, very, very, maybe on the plus side rather than on the negative side. So we are looking very, very positive. The worst is behind us, and the rest will, you know, follow.
Can I just squeeze in one question on AMW? What is the expected outflow capex or whatever on AMW, and number two, any visibility on when it will get concluded?
Yeah, So the matter is getting delayed because we're not getting a date in the Supreme Court, but the matter is very, very clear. It's as per law, the judgment that we received from the NCLT. So the capex on this would additionally be close to 150 crores if I can just guess right now, because 20 crores we've already paid out and the rest has to go out, 120 crores odd has to go out, and about 30 crores for general maintenance capex and working capital, etc. So that is the amount of the capex, and I'm pretty sure that by April, end April, we should have the plant in our possession. April, maybe maximum May, but I don't see that going beyond that.
Thank you. Thank you very much for all my questions. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to participants to press star and one to ask a question. We have a next question from the line of Chirag Shah, an individual investor. Please go ahead. Mr. Chirag Shah, please unmute your line.
Yeah, hello. Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Sir, my first question is on this revenue guidance of 5,000 crores. Is it possible to indicate what kind of reams we are looking to sell? You know, it could change based on the mix which happens, but in the budget of 5,000 crore, number of reams we are looking to sell, because this top line number can change based on how raw material price behave, right? It can be 5,500 crore or even 4,500 crore, depending upon the raw material basket.
Right. So I'm assuming that the raw material prices remain where they are right now today. So that is my first assumption in this whole thing. And in terms of volume growth, if you are talking about a 25% growth in revenue, in terms of volume, depending on the product mix will be highly skewed toward exports, highly skewed toward aluminium, highly skewed toward CV. So even a 15% increase in volume will do us 1,000 crores additional.
Okay. 15% increase in volumes. Yeah. This is helpful. The second question, what is inventory gain loss? Just wanted to understand how does this accrue in our P&L, and also if you can give me a breakup of quarterly of this 11 crores, because if my understanding is correct, that you buy an inventory, suppose say steel, and if the price is favorable, then it comes as gain for you in your P&L, because your billing to OEM is based on index, but probably you were able to secure at a price better.
So you're right. So that thought is correct. That's how it works.
But then, sir, it's a normal business.
But you can gain or loss, right? When you know the prices are going to go up, you can build up your inventory. Or if you know the prices are going to come down, you can draw down your inventory before the actual change in prices. So that is a strategic play that the management has at its discretion to deploy.
No, I agree with you. I'm saying it's a normal business gain or loss, right? It's not one-off in that sense.
It's the nature of
the business model. You will pursue this strategy on an ongoing basis.
Absolutely well said.
Okay. So then in that case, sir, for consistency perspective, if you could indicate on a quarterly basis how this number...
I've done that. This morning, I've sent out a note to the BSE. Please have a look at that. It clearly shows you, and in fact, at the beginning of my speech, I clearly said that our EBITDA on a nine-month basis has grown by 21% if you take out the inventory gain or losses. So clearly, that is our endeavor to inform the market participants that what is the EBITDA based on actual performance of the company versus taking into factor the changes in price of raw material.
And the second question was on the aluminum casting business. So this is a new line you are trying to develop, right?
Correct. This is a new line. It's an import substitute. And we've sorted out the technology. We've got a great traction with the OEMs. And we are doing it at the behest of OEM, so it's a backed up business. It's not a business that we will have to get the orders from. We have business visibility for us as we invest in this business. And we will also look at this business to export. So it's going to be just like a wheel business that gets exported as well as used locally.
So is it in CVs or PVs, if you can indicate? Or
It is in the car business, sir. It is in the car business, in the passenger car business.
Yeah. It is in the car business.
Yes, sir.
And when can this see day of light in the sense in terms of proof of concept and actual production happening?
Oh,
how much?
Okay, so we are going to be starting with small supplies in by the end of June quarter, but that those will be just samples for validation. The actual mass production will start next year.
Okay.
And these are for electric vehicles. Let me point this out to you. This is a product that will be highly used in the electrical vehicle space. So you can clearly see this is a technology move that we're making in line with what is happening in the industry.
Yeah. So, and last question, if I can just take one more.
Sure.
Now, on the new aluminum order, the export order that you have indicated, is it possible to get what rim sizes are we, is it going to the same 16, 18 inches or we are moving up the curve in terms of inch size?
Yeah, we are definitely going up the curve. In fact, our new expansion entails a capacity up to 27 inches, which is the first in India. There's no plant that can go up to 27 inches. So we will cover the entire gamut of the casted wheel industry.
In terms of order flow, so the incremental 1,000 crore of revenue order or in general, is it possible to indicate that what is the current export inch size that you have and how should we look at it?
I don't want to share this, this is a competitive information on sizes, etc. Yeah. But I just gave you a general outlook that we are going to be the biggest width supplier of wheels in India.
Great. And lastly, if this commodity volatility is not as high as it was what we have seen, inventory gain loss will not be that significant for you to highlight. Is that the right
thing? Again, a brilliant assertion. I think that's a very well said point.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much, and all the best.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Imran Khan from Long Bao India. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. I hope I'm audible to everyone.
You are. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the confirmation. Sir, my question is on you share a release every month where you mention your net sales and gross sales. And if I add the last 3 months numbers, it was about 1,000 crores plus. And the reported net sales for the last 3 months is about...
I get your point. Yeah. So what happens is that when the raw material reductions take place, they happen with a lag. So let's say the raw material reduction took place on 1st of October. But by the time it is agreed by the OEMs and then the purchase orders are changed and then we get new purchase orders, there is a lag of 3 to 4 months, sometimes 5 months. And so by the time the results were published, we had to reduce the sales to account for the fall in prices during this period. That is the only difference you see.
Oh, but this difference is more than 11 crore, right? I mean, you said you had inventory loss of only 11 crores.
We are not talking about loss, boss, here. We are talking about something else. We are talking about sales here. So when sales happen, they happen at the original price that was settled before the price increase happens. So if the price increase happens on the 1st of October, my sales will continue at the prices of September, which were higher than October. The settlement of October prices takes 3 to 4, sometimes 5 months. So as and when they happen, we put a debit note, the customer puts a debit note on us, and we have to reduce the sale value by that amount. So don't confuse it with inventory gains and losses, please.
So is it fair to assume that this is a loss, right? It's 70 crore loss on...
I think you don't understand what I'm trying to say. How can it be a loss? There's a decline in sale value, but it doesn't mean that decline in sale value is going out of my P&L account. Because at the same time, I'm paying less to my supplier of steel also, you have to understand.
Got it. Thank you for the clarification. Sir, one more thing if you can do, Q1, you have shared volume and value for different segments. Q2, you didn't do it. I don't know whether you have done it offline with somebody. But Q3, again, you have not shared it. It would be good if you share it on a regular basis, maybe
in
the presentation.
We'll take that point. I'm not sure what your point, what you're saying is correct. We will correct that now, going forward.
Okay. So maybe this time you are not sharing right now, but maybe, next quarter you will share it for the last even 2-3 quarters, right?
Okay. Amit, you can do that.
So what we are doing is we are not making these volumes and segment-wise bifurcation as a part of our conference call. But yes, this can be obtained on a one-on-one basis.
Sir, but that would be not fair to the other investor. This is my point. Because even last quarter, somebody asked you for this information and you said we'll give you offline. I think if you don't put any sidebars, you know, it would be very helpful for the other investors as well.
Okay, we'll come back to you. I'm not aware of this issue, what they have tried to do elsewhere. But your point is taken. Amit, we'll come back with a proper response to it.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Keshav Garg from Counter Cyclical PMS. Please go ahead.
Sir, I'm new to the company, so I'm trying to understand, sir, that what is our pricing formula with our customers, sir? Is it a formula-based pricing wherein every quarter, as per the input prices and power and forex, are these things passed through? Or is it a fixed price contract annually? Or is it a annual
price? No, it's a fixed price contract. It's a fixed price contract, and only the raw material price changes the price of the product. Plus, we also, at not every quarter, but once in a year, we do get some input price increases, and they affect with the lag. They come, the discussions happen, let's say, 6 months after. So we get it retrospectively. So if we get an input increase, we get it retrospectively, or a period mutually decided by the OEM and us. So only the change in prices, majority of the change happens only because of the change in raw material prices.
Sir, and also, is there a annual price reduction contract that in view of additional
That's a good point. Some OEMs insist for it. Some OEMs we don't give because, you know, it gets offset against the input cost that we change, that we have to bear. So it's not a hard and fast rule that every OEM gets an annual cost down. But yes, some OEMs do get an annual cost down.
Okay, sir. And sir, also in terms of our business, sir, how does it compare with Wheels India and also Enki Wheels? I mean, I'm trying to understand that is it totally comparable or are those companies, sir, I'm trying to understand how much is the overlap? I mean, are we making the exact same product or is there some other product that they are making and it's not strictly comparable?
I think, Amit, you can answer this question. Because you analyze us, our company and the other companies also. I'm not sure to what extent this question needs to be answered.
Can you just
understand what he's trying to ask. I'm not able to follow.
Sir, I'm trying to understand that between our business, Wheels India, and Enki Wheels, sir, is it the exact same business? Or how much is the overlap? Or are they making some other product that is different from us?
I think SSWL is into steel wheels as well as alloy wheels. But Wheels India is something is into steel wheels only. So that's why there's a major difference into this.
Okay.
Yeah, we can definitely take this offline.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Pulkit Singhal from Dalmus Capital Management. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity and congrats on a great set of numbers. This is now the second consecutive year of 20% plus return on capital. I'm just trying to understand, as you grow more in exports and alloys next year, is it fair to say that your return on capital will go higher from this because those are higher ROC businesses?
Absolutely, without a doubt, without a question, you will see higher utilization of our CD business, higher utilization of our aluminium wheel business, even though there is a capex happening there, higher utilization of all our lines, our new entry into electrical vehicle scooters, that is a big chunk, very fast growing chunk, we are the pioneers in that business. And when I say that we will increase our volume by 15%, majority of the volume gains are going to come from high value added businesses like exports, CD and aluminium. So that clearly answers your question in itself, that ROC is bound to increase from these additional margin sales.
Great. And your new initiatives in controllers and castings, the return on capital on those businesses, are they higher than your current company average as well?
Obviously, the aluminium business, CD business, export business are high EBITDA margin businesses.
No, I'm talking about the new initiatives. The controllers that you're getting into, manufacturing and the casting.
Yeah, again, a very, very profitable business because it is a lot of technology involved in it. So it's not a formula-based costing that one does with the OEMs on our wheels business, for instance. So this is a proprietary technology, proprietary software. So, you know, it and the features that we bring into this product, nobody has. Nobody has what we have. in this business. And clearly, you know, we've got the wheel part of it, the motor part we're trying to sort out, and the controller. All these three things come, imagine getting bundled in one unit of sale, and the amount of power, pricing power that you will have is going to be unbelievable. And a value addition for the customer too, because he gets all three things in one go without having to assemble them.
Right, right. Secondly, on the alloy exports, obviously this is a much larger opportunity than even the domestic alloy business. And you, I mean, while the aftermarket you have tried, you were addressing, I think the OEM alloy exports seems to be that critical juncture where things can kind of pick up. So what is, in that journey, can you help us understand, I mean, what really drove them to give you, I mean, you mentioned two large customers, I mean, so what was their underlying thought process of getting you on board as an alloy partner?
So it's again a very good question, because until now they were hesitant to bring in a supplier from outside Europe because they wanted to support the European suppliers. But what has happened is that there were two plants in Morocco that were dumping wheels into Europe, because Morocco being right across the sea to Spain and very close to the European Union, they were coming in for duty free under their free trade agreement. Now those two plants have been tapped with anti-dumping duties, and so the buyers now in the OEMs where we already have relationships are looking for alternate suppliers, and that is the result why we are getting very good traction from the OEMs, and we are talking about the top OEMs of Europe, not tier 3 or tier 4, top OEMs with huge volume, with huge money who invest in aluminium wheels. So, you know, I've talked about my journey to 10 million wheels, and this is the biggest cog in that journey. So this has to happen, and it will happen, and we see very good traction in this going forward. So the journey is not limited to 4.5 million wheels. 4.5 million wheels will happen in this financial year, in the coming financial year rather. But 10 million is not going to be far away once we get success in the OEM market. Because the volumes are going to be in a couple of millions easily.
Right. And how much land you have for, I mean, if you were to expand?
We don't have issues with land. Absolutely not.
So there's no challenge on the land. So you can easily go to 6-7 million with just machinery and expenditure.
We have land in Chennai, which is lying vacant, very close to Hyundai. We have land in Gujarat, which is half of the land, which is not utilized. So don't worry about that aspect at all.
Okay. So therefore, I mean, when you're talking about 25% revenue growth, then obviously it will be higher because I presume, as you know, aluminium is obviously higher margin. So, I mean, are we almost getting to 40% kind of PAT growth, 30 to 40%, 35, 40% because of the leverage you have?
To be frank, I don't count my money. I just check what I'm going to do next year. And what I see from what we are going to do, we are going to be plus 12% on EBITDA margins going forward. On a conservative estimate, I don't want to sort of give a number of 15% or 14% and then not come up to that level. So I'm giving a very conservative number, assuming that costs of input don't go up next year, because we already have received input cost increases this year. And it'll be fair to say that we will have a solid EBITDA number. So you can multiply 5,000 by 12%, it clearly shows you that number that you're looking to
add. Right. And lastly, just the tax rates. I mean, you know, while I understand cash outflows lesser, but from a, you know, EPS growth perspective,
we are 25% tax rate.
In FY24 or FY25?
24-25.
24-25. Oh, got it. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Chirag Shah, an individual investor. Please go ahead. Mr. Chirag Shah, please unmute your line.
Hello.
Yes, please go ahead.
Yeah, actually, I'm from Nuvama. Yeah. So, thanks for the second opportunity. Three more questions. One, is it possible to indicate for F21, 22 and 9 months, our volumes, steel wheels and alloy wheels, that would also be sufficient? Is it possible to indicate now?
We have to strategically see how does it. So, I don't know if somebody mentioned that we disclose it for one quarter. I'm kind of surprised. Let me have a discussion internally and then we'll communicate it. If we do, it'll be for everybody. It won't be for
one.
Yeah, no, what I'm trying to understand, we don't want the breakup between, say, commercial.
I don't want to reveal my breakup in such detail to my
competition. That's what I'm saying. Only steel and alloy. Only steel and alloy. If you can just indicate that.
Yeah, that I think we should do. I think Amit, we'll make a disclosure, I guess, to the stock exchanges on this.
Yeah. So that is one. So second question was coming back to this Europe business that you indicated. So where are we in that stage? So
I have already given an answer to this question, that we are in the midst of talking to the OEMs.
Okay.
We're not able to do more because we didn't have capacity. Now we have capacity, so this business will expand.
Okay. So it's more of a F25 story onwards where real export volumes will start kicking in to...
Yeah, so export 24-25, we should be looking at 1,000 crore plus by then. Yes, you're right. But this year we will be looking at, this coming financial year, we'll be looking at close to 600 crores.
Okay. Okay. No, I was more referring to the two, three EU customers that you indicated, you know, shift from Morocco that is happening.
It takes time, you're right. It takes time. But in this business, you know, we are working with existing businesses, so no new program, existing program. So I can't reveal too much, but it'll be pretty brisk to begin with. And then when the critical mass needs to build up, then obviously, right, it'll take more than a year to sort of reach the critical mass of 2 to 3 million wheels. That may take longer than 1 year next year, but it'll start next year. You'll start seeing real fireworks next year.
Yeah.
24-25, I mean.
Yeah. The second, on the PLI benefits, so if you can indicate by when you expect it, because there will be a lot of requirements of tick marks.
Of course, we have to produce, and we are already qualified for it. We just have to start producing and making that investment, which we are in the midst of.
So by when do you expect that you would be able to, so it's again a F25 onwards benefit?
Yes,
or
you can say 24-25, yes, 24-25.
24-25. And what is the hesitancy of not making an investment now and waiting? Is there anything or any approvals are pending to come across?
No, there is no approval pending. We have to do the investments. We have to do, the other side, we are working with controllers now. We will start working with motors. So we have to have a certain critical investment in this, and based on that, we qualify automatically for PLI. There is no form to, I mean, there is no approvals to be had.
Okay, so all that is sorted out. Okay.
Now we have to do the homework. Government has given us the clearance.
Yeah, and this will also include EV wheels, or it's only for motor controller? The wheels for the EV that you have indicated, over there also PLI benefit comes across?
The wheel. I am talking about controller and motor specifically.
Okay, control motor, okay. Okay, so this is helpful. Yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Rajat Sethia from iThought PMS. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity once again. Sir, with regards to the raw material pricing volatility that we face in our business, I think you mentioned that everything is settled retrospectively. Is that correct? And be it steel wheels or alloy wheels?
Yes, correct.
Okay, so the inventory gains and losses that we see, they are just notional accounting gains or losses. They don't really
have any cash flows. They're actual cash flows.
But if everything is settled retrospectively, then why are they actual?
But, you know, it depends. As I said before, and please be lazy now. Again, I'm repeating myself. The pass-through happens on the change in price of raw materials. Correct?
Okay.
And that is retrospective. But how much raw material I hold is my decision. So when the pass-through happens, it happens for the consumption of that particular steel wheel. But if I have more steel of the same steel wheel, I can continue to use that old price steel to make that steel wheel. I don't need to buy expensive steel, which has happened in the meantime. But that is how the inventory gains are calculated, are actually flown into the system.
Understood, sir. Understood. Thank you so much. Thanks.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Shivam, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, thanks for the opportunity and thanks for and congrats for the good results. I'm a bit new to the company, so I was just looking at your last decade ROC numbers. Like, it was within the range of 6% to 12%, and of FY22 it has been around 23%. So can you highlight some changes that you have brought that there is a significant jump in ROC, and why was the ROC so subdued like in the last decade? Like, I'm a bit new to the company.
I think Amit, you can sort of fill him up on this, but more or less I can say this, that our utilizations in 2018 were hampered by that NBFC crisis, and then after that the COVID hit. And post-COVID, we have seen a full utilization of our resources, and hence you see an improved return on capital. That is, in summary, the answer.
But sir, before 2018 also, like it was...
Yeah, so before 2018, it had a lot of capex. A lot of capex, and that capex culminated in 2018, and we started to boom in October, from July, August, September. In the second quarter of 18-19 was very good for us. But then, unfortunately, we had this problem. So if you look at the first two quarters of 18-19, we did a double digit, a pretty good ROC in that. I don't remember the exact numbers, but it was close, pretty close to 16-17%. And it was starting to look up. And okay, so, but then we have a 2-year slowdown after the NBFC crisis in India.
So the main reason was from 2011 to 2018, the capex incurring. That was the main reason.
A lot of capex, we set up many plants because we had to be near the OEMs and we had to grab market share, and we are very happy we did that. That's why we are number 2 in the world today.
Okay, so now any guidance, like what would be the...
Guidance is going to be 25. Our internal target is to take it to 30%, but this year we should be looking at this coming financial year, nothing less than 25-26%.
Yeah, that's also improvement from a 23% of FY23.
Yes, absolutely, my friend.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraints, that was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to management for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Okay, so thank you everybody who has participated in this conference today. And I'm happy to answer some of the questions which were very intelligent and sort of thought-provoking. And I look forward to such a conversation next time around also. And my only request would be that people should not ask the same question repeatedly. Like I heard this question on inventory. If there is some doubt, I'm very happy to answer them through Amit. Amit understands our business well. Amit, please, whoever does not understand the inventory gains issue, kindly sort of speak to them one-on-one and clarify to them. Otherwise, it's my pleasure to have this conversation with you, and I look forward to having another one after the next quarter's results. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Smiths Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.